This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI Podcast, episode 157, with me,
157, and Julian Dean. What are you saying, players?
welcome back. I'm zooming in from Melbourne, Australia. It's currently 10 to midnight, which is, it's bedtime, isn't it? I should be asleep, man. I got up at 6 a.m. to watch the Tottenham second half. So I've been up too long.
How come you didn't watch the first half?
Well, I did, but I set my alarm. And then when my alarm went off, I turned my alarm off and went back to sleep for another 1 hour.
I heard them. And then they were playing when I was doing a gig last night. They're quite loud, weren't it?
Where were you doing the gig? Yeah. On the pitch?
Yeah. No, like there was a crowd watching in the pub next door.
Okay.
Yeah. Who won?
Yeah, it was a very exciting match. Tottenham won 3-0.
That's nice, isn't it?
You were Tottenham fan, Carl. You were Tottenham fan.
I am, yeah. As you can tell by the fact that I just referred to Arsenal as pedos.
I'm very much
a Tottenham fan.
Oh, yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan, yeah. I just like pedos.
Yeah.
We should welcome our guest, comedian, podcaster, Sally Ann Haywood.
Hello.
Bristolian. Bristolian.
Not originally.
Not from but you
Bristol.
Live. That's where you live, though. You're one of the Bristol set. You know, when people talk about the, what was the famous Chipping Norton set when they talk about David Cameron and all the sort of politicians that live in and around the area and the socialites. You're part of the Bristol set.
I'm hoping that I'm alongside like Massive Attack and Portishead and people like that. But
didn't you see them outside your house the other day?
What, Portishead? Yeah. Right, outside, all of them just doing a gig
In lockdown you saw, no, someone at a Massive Attack.
Although, no, I, yeah, I have seen, yeah, he walks around Bristol quite a lot.
Which one?
Daddy J. I was about to call him Big Daddy, but that's a
Big Daddy Kane.
1970s wrestler.
The wrestler.
That's my nickname. Do you remember Big Daddy?
Big Daddy Splash.
Giant Haystacks.
Yeah. And Sammy Lee that used to flip
around. Did you say that's your nickname, Julie?
Did you? Sorry, I missed that. Big Daddy.
Little Daddy.
Is that what your kids call you?
Yeah, Little Daddy.
Absent Daddy.
Where's Daddy?
I wish
he wasn't my daddy.
You're not my real daddy. That's my nickname.
we had a conversation on here about Bristol a couple of weeks ago, and we sort of took a bit of it onto Patreon because we were talking about the real name of Banksy, and obviously
Robin Granger, isn't it, apparently?
Yeah, don't say it now. Are you allowed to say
is
it?
That the answer to a question? But it's a myth. Nobody knows for sure. Well, people do know, obviously. Banksy knows, and his team know, and his family and his friends, but that's rumour that it's somebody called the name that I just said.
Robin Granger.
Is it? I think it's that. Was that the name? I can't remember. That sounds similar to a name I said.
We did name him. It sounds similar to that, but might be different. But I mean, we had
like
it
you say, though, it's all here.
Only our patron squad know.
There's a pub near me that was closing down, and because the owner died, but then the community got involved, and you know, like the communities buy pubs, and apparently Banksy stepped in and sorted that out.
I've heard he is the proprietor of that pub, so
Star and Garter.
Oh, it's very, very exciting,
isn't it? And that's the pub that Dave Chappelle did the raffle at their grand reopening recently.
Oh.
Well, recently,
really?
A few years ago, yeah. And the pub
did you see the picture of the guy that stormed the stage at Dave Chappelle's show. And he just got absolutely fucked up.
What, when he was on the stretcher?
Yeah, and his arm was all broken and he's all just totally, like, they literally bent him all out of shape, man.
Oh, my God.
Like, he literally stormed the stage to punch Dave Chappelle, forgetting that Dave Chappelle has, like, a 10-man security entourage. So they literally dragged him to the back of the stage and gave him an absolute kick in and, like, broke his arm. They totally fucked him up. He looks like a different person, man.
I wonder what happened with that. What a silly boy. But also, is that allowed? Surely they should have just removed him.
He did have a pretend gun on him, I suppose. So it might be reasonable.
Yeah, he did. Apparently, it was a fake gun that had a knife on the front, which is
still a weird
weapon.
A dangerous weapon, isn't
it? Just take the knife.
Yeah.
I always take knives,
Exactly. Anything that's going to be less cumbersome in your pockets. But they did an absolute number on him. Like he looked so beaten up. It was like funny. He looked like a sort of cartoon character.
I'd hate to get really beaten up.
Why was he still? It wouldn't be very nice, would it?
But like,
have you ever been beaten up? I bet you have.
It's weird that we're not into it.
Yeah. I have had like kick-ins and stuff. Yeah.
What's
kicks in the body. I got kneed in the body once. It just fucked me up.
Did it?
I was getting attacked, by loads of people.
You don't feel it at the time, though, do you? I remember once getting
the head pits I did, and I was getting hit in the head as well. But then somebody kicked me straight in the body, and it just took everything out of me, man. I didn't realise how bad body...
Your head, like Homer Simpson, where he's just getting punched in the head, you can't even feel it. It's just like...
It wasn't as bad. Like, the body, it just properly fucked me up. But
What did you do to antagonise
You get winded
that?
And stuff.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I was sticking up for my mate in Camden under the bridge. He was getting beaten up, and me and my other mate ran over there. And just jumped in, but there were so many of them. We just ran over
to also get beaten up.
What about me?
To dilute the beatings. Yeah. But we got...
In solidarity.
But we were getting... My friend got his head split open. Someone had a key and just... But my other mate, Kane, who was there first, his whole face was just battered, I got out of it all right, really.
Yeah.
I was swinging and that. I was catching a few.
You were doing
it.
Yeah, you were.
Of course, man.
Swinging your head into their fists.
Just nutted their feet, you know what I mean? I teach them. Got all blood on their shoes. They'll think twice before they come at me like that.
Why did the person storm the stage for Dave Chappelle, though? Go back to that. What was the reason? Is it to do with his material?
Apparently he's got previous. He's a bit of a nutter. He's a wannabe rapper, and he'd written a song about Dave Chappelle like a year ago.
Right.
And I think he was just doing it for a bit of notoriety.
Now
he's got notoriety as the man who got the most beaten up anyone ever has done.
Probably be in the Big Brother house next year or something.
Wow. Yeah, I think he was just a bit of a nutter who fancied getting in the newspapers.
I always think that must be horrible to get. When you're getting beaten up, to be in pain because you've just been beaten up, but then they're going to beat you up more.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're hurting already, then they're like, you'll just be begging them no.
It's not enough. That's horrible. I remember a girl, I've never been beaten up yet, but I remember I used to get bullied on the bus to school by these girls. They would just be horrible to me.
What bus did you drive?
and then I stuck up for myself once. I called her a slut.
Good.
Yeah, I went, "You slut." Yeah, what a word. And then she waited for me, and when I got off the bus, she just pushed me. And I rose above her. I walked away. I was so scared. I was like, and I just went. I thought,
that's good though. You stuck up for yourself.
Yeah, she was horrible. Mate. There was two of them. They were horrible.
Put a nut on her, mate.
She should have swung around by her hair. If she's listening, it was on the 2B bus from Summertown to Oxford City Centre. and I meant it.
Was she?
What was her name? Do you remember her full name?
I don't know her name.
Slut's quite a nice word, though.
She was from a different. She. Do you know what? As well, there used to be a shop in Oxford called Snob. It was called Snob, and they used to have these bags called Big Snob bags, right? And I wish I still had it. And everyone had one. And so they used to call us Snob, and they used to go, look at you, even got it on your bag, look at you. And then they were just horrible to us, me and my friends. So then, so I called her a slut one day because I'd had enough. And then she pushed me, and she would have beaten me up, I think.
What was her problem then? She just was a bully to everyone.
No, the problem was, it was that I went to the private school and she went to the comprehensive school. Oh. So they used to just shout at us and call us snobs. And then we didn't really help ourselves with our big snob bags.
And all your money.
And all your money. Yeah.
And my crown.
And all the food in your fridges.
Yeah. Your rosy vitamin cheeks.
And
all your straight legs.
Yeah. Your unwebbed hands.
So what were you
doing on a normal bus?
Just to get the normal bus to school.
You ride your horse, not really.
Should have done, shouldn't I? I mean, I owned the bus company. You understand that? But so I didn't
just,
get beaten.
Checking in on the drivers.
Yeah.
Here's a quick aside off the back of this. It's absolutely true. 2 days ago, I found out that my wife Hannah went to private school. She's never told me she went to private school.
She's Australian, no isn't idea. She?
Are you going to bin her
yeah,
off?
Yeah.
So what's
Yeah, we're not together anymore. I'm actually in a hotel at the minute.
We've moved out. You don't know how to process it.
It's principles.
I can't be a class traitor, mate. But
How does that make you feel?
I didn't realise that.
It's good that you really know each other.
Well, no, because I've never... Do you know what it is? I've never even asked, I think. It turns out, like, Australia, like... Loads of people go to private, like private schools here aren't like the UK where they're the tiny minority of schools. In Australia, like healthcare here, you don't get free healthcare here. It's sort of a part paid thing.
Right.
Schools are sort of similar. There's just private schools are way more common and they're much more affordable. So I just don't even think I ever thought to ask. And she just mentioned it, and I was well shocked. You know what I mean? Because like. Part of me, again, I suppose it's because you don't really know. She's not posh. Her family aren't posh or anything. So I think I just assumed everyone who went to private school was posh. But
I'm
like
posh.
In England, we've got a bit more of a divide, though, haven't we? A class divide, more than other countries.
Yeah.
In Australia, I haven't really got that. America hasn't really got that.
I don't come from posh stock, to be honest. But my dad was doing all right in the 80s. And my brother had got beaten up. Back to that conversation at the comprehensive, and then they just, and I used to quite enjoy school. I used to really enjoy primary school, so they thought, oh, let's just see what happens if we put her into a private school, and which was a waste of their money looking back, because I just didn't do any work, but that was the reason.
You became a comedian. Something
I know.
You didn't need any qualifications for.
I reckon I might have done better if I'd gone to the comprehensive, but you don't know, do you? But the school I went to, I looked this up recently, notable pupils is Maggie Smith, nice, yeah. Miriam Margolyes, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, really?
Still on the list. Still,
she's
but they're
doing all right now.
Still on the Wikipedia. Why would they keep that up there?
Well, she is one of the most notorious pimps in the world, you know. Yeah. Still got to say that in the line of work she went into, she's top drawer.
It's a good point, yeah. A good point, but why would you keep that up there anyway? But yeah, you're right, she is notable, I guess that's the argument, isn't it?
Did you have a lot of we used to have fights on our school bus all the time. Our school bus once got a police escort. There was so much trouble on it.
Like the Queen, you know,
the 178 from
alongside.
From Thomas Tallis to Lewisham, and it got a police car either side of it, just taking it on the
Holy
journey.
Yeah, like a diplomat.
Hello, everybody.
Just like a sort of triangle of police bikes in front of it with their flashing lights.
We used to have,
I remember one of my first days in primary school, I was on the 286 sitting with my sister because she used to have to like show me the route and that. And these two kids were like having a conversation, a bit older next to me. But I was just a naive kid. I couldn't help just looking at them while they're talking. And one of them's like, mate, stop looking at me. And I'm like, and then I couldn't help just keep looking the whole journey. I did it about five times. In the end, he said, when we get off the bus, I'm going to beat you up. And then we got off the bus and he was like in my face. And Jane's just standing there and my sister. And I just was scared of feet and corner. I just started booting him, but like crying at the same time. And then someone's mum came over and like got in the way and I like had a go at him and that. And when I walked off, Jane went, I mean, you shouldn't have cried. Why did you cry?
Oh, God.
But I was, how old were you?
I was 27. I was 11. But I remember just booting him and thinking, why am I booting him?
Well, he threatened you.
Yeah.
Booting him with your plimsolls.
Exactly.
You just scream a bit acid. When you're in your sort of that age, when you're between like 10 and 15, you're an emotional, like, fucking volcano, innit? So, like, you can do one minute, you can be doing something aggressive, next thing you'll just be crying and no idea. I remember, like, watching my mate get hit by a car, and I like, you know, he was fine. But
did you pull over after?
I pushed him in front of him, mate. But I remember just trying to tell a teacher, like, he got hit by, like I literally went to get help. And I just couldn't even laughing, speak. Yeah. I was like, I was crying. I probably was like sort of trying to speak and just crying, even though it was absolutely, you know, he was all right. It wasn't like he wasn't
and
dead
that
or
crying
anything.
When you're a kid, when you're like,
yeah,
and you're breathing.
Yeah. It is traumatic, I bet. Traumatizing, like seeing someone get hit by a car, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. There was two of them got hit. One of them, my mate Sam, was absolutely fine. The other guy, his legs got so broken. Both of them just like, it was like a Range Rover with like them bull bars on the front. Mm-hmm. So it just sideswiped him and his legs were both like just shaped like like brackets.
You watched it all.
Do you know what I mean? It was rough.
What did they do? Run out into the road or something? What was the...
Yeah, we all got on the bus to go to like PE. We used to do PE in like a different bit, like about a 20-minute walk away from our school, like where like the field was. And there was a weird rule where you weren't allowed to get the bus. They were like, you have to walk, no getting on the bus. I think they wanted it to be part of the exercise or something.
Yeah.
And
we used
to just be like, fuck that, we're getting the bus. So we'd always get the bus, it would go past the place and then we'd walk back. So, and yeah, we just got the bus. We all walked out from behind the bus into the road. And like, we were in a row of like two of my mates at the front, three of us there, another two behind. And as we walked out, literally a car just took two of my mates out. It was like a film, like Final Destination, where I just watched like a car just go vroom like that, and two of my mates just go flying.
Aww.
It was
One of them was okay. One of them was more mangled, was he?
They were both fine. Like, you know, there was no lasting damage, but one of them broke both of their legs.
I mean,
which is bad, actually. In hindsight, that is bad.
Was he late for school?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're a kid and you get plasters on you, I used to be really jealous of kids that had plasters, you know, those,
because they could get out of like lessons and stuff.
And they always got everyone's signature on them.
Yeah.
So he was sort of hobbling along.
I used to have a proper pathological fear of breaking a bone. And I didn't break a bone until I was in my 30s, and it was fine. It wasn't that bad.
What did you break in your 30s?
My arm.
Oh.
How did you do that?
Skiing.
Snowboarding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But like, it was one of them things where I think until I broke a bone, I always thought it was going to be...
Oh, he's frozen.
Carl's frozen.
Oh, yeah, I've frozen.
Oh, there you are. No,
there we go. We can hear
froze
you.
Like that. Frozen, not sure. But
I
used to think it would be like the most painful thing on earth, breaking a bone. And actually, when you break one, you realise it's just like another... It's like a pain like anything else. It's not that bad.
Dislocating is supposed to be more painful, isn't it, apparently? I suppose it depends where, doesn't it?
Oh, my eye hurts.
Or if you dislocate your head.
If you dislocated your eyeball.
Just then, it would, you know, the ice just went right the way through.
I dislocated my knuckle twice in my left hand, punching.
Punching people again.
Well, just like messing around with my mate, but I think I punched his hip or his belt buckle.
It's a theme of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, just too violent.
Yeah. Can we quickly talk about your belt buckle, Julian? Do you want to show it off to the camera?
You know what? I didn't have a belt, and I've had this belt for years. It's actually from All Saints, but it says, I'm trying to cover it up.
Let's have a look.
Turn around, show it.
It says Jesus Rock.
That is, it's pretty
thick as well. It's a bit like a bit heavy metal in it or something.
It's a bit chunky.
Jesus rocks.
I like Jesus. I don't really know much about him.
Well, you know quite a bit, surely.
Not really. I didn't go private school. What exams did you do?
O levels.
Oh yeah. Did you do a degree?
Yeah.
In what?
Drama.
Ah. What? Okay.
Oh.
At Middlesex. I didn't go till I was about 24, though. When I went to school,
did you ever? I was going to say, did you ever then? What did you want to go into acting before you got into comedy?
Yeah, I did. And from school though, I left at 16, and they used to have. Do you remember they used to have UCA and PCAS forms because they used to be polytechnics back then? And they used to hand. And at my school, they didn't even give us the polytechnic forms. That annoyed me. They just only gave out the university forms because they just didn't want any of the girls to go to a polytechnic. So nothing to do with my bad exam results. On that, I just went, I'm not going to university. It wasn't anything to do with the fact that I wouldn't have got in. And and then I went to the local college and did my A levels. And then I just
had subjects,
English and drama. Oh. And then I had about 6 years off. And then I thought. I just worked and parted and travelled for about 6 years.
Did you do a lot of drugs?
Did some drugs.
What's your favourite?
That sounded, I don't know why that sounded threatening.
Still got a number.
Crystal meth. That was my favourite.
Delicious.
Yeah, delicious. And then I went later.
Have you ever gone back to acting? Have you ever done any more acting since?
I'm going to say we've got a bunch of drugs. I did pantomime. Not really. Yeah,
did you?
A long time ago.
Who were you in the panto?
Princess Balroubador in a pantomime in Exmouth. That was years ago. That was in the 90s. And I haven't done much, but I'd like to do more acting. I've got an acting agent. Yeah, so hopefully then, Bobby, and if anybody out there wants this voice.
I've got to do we talk a bit about auditions and stuff on this. I've got to do a self-tape in the next couple of days for... It's going to be an embarrassing one to do because it's like a proper... It's like a quite a big action scene. So it's going to be...
What have you got to do? Are you putting it off
actually say what it is. I've actually signed a non-disclosure agreement to even get sent the scenes, but
we'll put it on patreon.com/wearetvi. We'll tell you.
Yeah,
you should record it, and we'll put it on Patreon.
I'll put it on Patreon after I definitely don't get it, which I obviously won't, because it's sort of an action thing.
Die Hard 5.
I'm going to be the new James Bond, guys. It's going to be one of them ones where it's going to be fucking cringe to watch it back.
Oh, it's brutal.
I have done self tapes and they're horrible, aren't they? You just keep putting it off until you just think, I've got to do it now. I've got to do it.
They're easier than traveling.
But they're not as horrible as being in the room. They're not
true.
As hard as an actual audition.
That was great. If you'd like to leave now, quickly, please. But I got offered a few lately, but you know, I haven't done any. But it feels like when
you're all to not do anything.
You know what? I don't do them. I don't turn up or I don't get the self-tape in. So I get more. It's almost like I'm playing hard to get. They just keep sending me them. So I've never had so many since I've not done them. Does that make sense?
I heard that they kind of oversubscribe now. They do a lot by self-tape. So they get so many people to do them that they don't even... I don't know if they don't look at them all, but they are able to see so many more people now.
Yeah,
so
you're definitely. Up
against, yeah, of course.
I suppose it's easy and for them. They can just judge it in like 5 seconds. Yeah.
They normally would do anyway. Like even in a real audition, you know, they say that they make their decision the moment you walk in the room. And then, you know... it's about, you know, obviously you've got to then just prove you can actually do it. But like with self-tapes, they can literally just have one look at you. If it's not feeling it, just get on to the next one. You know, yeah, I mean, just skip through them. It's like Tinder for auditions,
yeah,
isn't
just
it?
Just like swiping left. The whole
90% yeah. It is just looks, isn't it? Like what you look
100%.
For.
Yeah.
Have you ever...
If the casting director's got an idea of what that character looks like, if you don't look like it, you've got to do something so brilliant in that audition to even get them to change their mind. You know, 99.9% of the time, you ain't going to get it. So, you know, it's... But it's good. They are quite fun, though. Self-tape's fun because you just get to fuck around in your house.
True, I suppose, to a certain extent. Yeah, but I still always put things like that off. I just think, oh, I've got to do it. Oh, I've got to do it.
Ugh. I know. I'm like, I can't. Yeah, I just don't do it.
But
I had to go on an improv once, and it was the casting director. It was only like two people in the room. It was quite... Yeah, it was in the evening for some reason. And I had to get up at the front and improv like I'm telling students off like I'm a teacher. And I did it so bad. I didn't know what... I was so bad that as I was leaving, they both didn't even hardly say bye. That was as if I was joking. Look at his face, he's frozen.
Oh, yeah. Get a photograph of that. That's hilarious.
I'm back.
Oh, you're froze, yeah. They both give me dirty looks afterwards.
They can be horrible, can't they? Yeah. I remember going for an audition once and this bloke was so rude to me, the guy, because I hadn't learnt it, but I went, sorry, was I supposed to learn it? And he went, yes, when you do auditions, you learn this. And he was so rude and like that, just didn't even, and I thought, this is vile. So then I started following him on Twitter because I just thought, oh, I'm going to follow you and just like so you know I'm behind you all the time. But he would have just thought, God. Oh, brilliant, I've got a new follower. No, he wouldn't have noticed. It was just vile.
That's your big payback. I've got to follow you on Twitter.
I'm going to give you another follower.
To increase his followers.
Yeah.
This will fucking show you, mate.
But revenge. Cold. Yeah. Follow.
I got sent for an audition once that my then agent, and he went, can you speak French? And I went, no, not really. And he went, well, you know, you pretend you've got a French mum or something like that. You need to think. And I went, but I haven't. And so I had to go. And like, you know, you all of a sudden you're this different person. They go, so you have a French mum? And I was like, yeah, but I don't really see. I was just, what am I doing?
Who
here?
Said pretend, God. You have a French mum? Your agent.
Yeah, my agent. So just pretend. Oh, God.
Just blag it.
Yeah.
It's always, that's too much of a risk. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think just work within your means, I think, is the best way to do things, isn't it?
Just don't do them.
Don't do them like you don't. Yeah.
You create a big demand when you don't do them.
What are the roles that you haven't done, that you haven't gone for?
I mean, one of them was an advert, but one of them was like this Netflix special. One of them was like a job that'd be great. I mean, I'm too lazy, though. It wasn't that I was lazy. It was that I had a few other things, and then I don't know.
All these parts that people want, and you're just not bothering with them.
And I will do the next one.
Depends what it is.
No, you won't. You say that about everything. That's your catchphrase.
It's always, though, the deadline is like, can you have this in tomorrow at 11 a.m.?
What have you got on before that? You're a kid.
I've got gym. I've got...
things you don't have to do.
Got to walk my dog.
Yeah, that dog, that famous dog.
You could absolutely do that. You've got time to do a self tape.
You know what? As well, I just don't think
you're putting it off because you don't want to do it.
Yeah, because I feel cringy at doing it. I'm not confident doing it.
But I reckon if you did more, you'd just get into the swing of it. And also, what's to say, just muck around with it?
Like, yeah. Make it my own.
Yeah.
I remember one in lockdown, and I did it, and it took ages, like setting the computer up, you know, the lighting and the back. And I don't know, it's 20 minutes work. But then I did it like 10 takes. I sent the best one. And then just on the deadline, then I reread it. I had to do it in a voice of a troll.
Oh.
And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. I just missed it because I don't really read. Like, if it's a fucking loads of writing, I ain't going to read it all. No. I just skip a bit. I start at the end and read backwards.
Can you do the voice of a troll?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't even know what a troll sounds like. I don't know. They're not real, I should have told them. Sorry, I keep coughing, by the way. I hope my...
Hello. That, like that, would that be a troll?
That was great.
Yeah.
Just always send them to me. I'll do the for self.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
I'm a troll. I'm a troll. Is that what that be?
Hello, girls and boys.
Yeah, you see, you could have
sound like
it,
Jimmy Savile, mate.
I had to do...
Have you seen the Savile documentary? Sorry, that's
yeah.
Me. Have you seen...
Yeah.
Fuck, that guy was a pedo, man. He was such a wrong'un, wasn't he?
Yeah, horrible. More than a pedo, though, wasn't he?
Do you think,
though?
Do you know what? He did look quite cool, though. I know that doesn't make up for it.
It's probably but, why the kids like, he fancied probably, him.
But a lot of the way he dressed was like sort of predated a lot of the sort of hipster.
He was a fucking original guy, wasn't he? Like, there was no one like him.
But he was in disguise all the time, wasn't he? Like, I can't imagine he particularly. Didn't he call his mum the Duchess? And he kept. Didn't he keep all her clothes and everything when she died?
I mean, he was an evil pedo, no doubt. He was a unique, charismatic human being, though, wasn't
he? I wonder if he. I never met. I just dribbled. I don't know if. Was he charismatic? Do you think so?
Yeah, I mean,
he
it was the biggest.
Yeah, he did seem it.
Before
like,
we
you
knew
know,
he was a pedo,
weird...
he was like the king of England, wasn't he? Yeah. Before he was, I mean, we knew that he was raping kids and stuff.
Was it kids?
Yeah.
Was he pedo or was he?
That's what a pedo is. Yeah,
yeah, no, well, but was it kids? Because I thought
like,
it was. Was it anybody? Because it was adults as well.
It was young girls. Yeah, was his flavour, wasn't it?
It was a massive age range.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on? I froze again. But they said that they said it at the end of the documentary. Like his victims range from like the age of 5 to like 20 something. It's like a real. Right. He wasn't just a pedo. He was like a predator. He was a proper, sexual, gross predator. It's rough.
It's a good documentary though, isn't it?
It's really well made.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
It shows how famous he was because you kind of forget, don't you, how big he was.
I had a Jimmy Fix It sticker on my mirror because...
When did you put that up after that you saw the doc?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, my godfather, do you remember, is Roger DeCourcy of Nookie Bear fame. And he was... Somebody wanted to meet him. So my dad went along as well. And then my dad came back...
Your dad's dad?
No, my dad went with Roger DeCourcy.
Roger DeCourcy's your granddad?
No, he's my godfather.
Oh, sorry.
Not related.
Oh.
And then, but anyway, my dad came back from the Jim Will Fix It studio with the sticker, the Jim Fixed It, Jim Will Fix It, or whatever sticker that they used to put.
Right.
So I put it on, but he didn't come back with the necklace. I was like, why didn't you bring me the necklace? And he said, no, because you haven't had anything fixed.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that. But I did write to Jim Will Fix It. I bet we all did.
I did, yeah.
I saw that some these kids got...
Wrote him last week. I took a little letter to his grave.
Every
ask him what hell's
it.
Like.
Chin up, soldier.
Chin up.
Documentary didn't mean shit to me, man. You still...
I don't believe the hype, bruv.
No, I saw some kids dancing and singing with Madness on Jim Will Fix It when I was a kid, and I thought, oh, I'd like to do that. So I wrote and asked for that. Like, they're going to do that again.
Just do it again, yeah.
I asked to go skydiving.
Did you?
Yeah, he didn't let me.
Didn't let you.
What it was? I didn't realize it ran for so long. It ran for like 20 years or something. Jim Will Fix
It.
Like 15
it was the biggest
years.
Show yeah, when, ever, man.
Like, and it was getting like 20 million viewers at its peak. It's like you just forget he was a proper superstar.
Did you know?
Only in this country
of
could
Jim
you
Will Fix It, Serge.
I found out like I didn't know anything about it until last month.
Did you have any like famous people who were pedos in Spain?
No.
Not yet.
My IT teacher, for example, that now is in jail. But
oh, is he? Yeah.
On TV, yeah. No, we don't have any.
What's he in jail for?
My IT teacher in school, because he was a scout and he would...
Like a Cub Scout?
Yeah, and the scout found out.
Red flag.
And then the police were investigating and the director of my school knew it. But he couldn't do anything because the police was doing all the investigation.
Oh.
So imagine being a director of a school, knowing that you have someone like teaching the kids, and like, and but you're not able to do anything. So yeah, that was.
I mean, fire him, maybe.
Yeah, and I know, like, I was very close to him. He didn't do anything to me.
No,
but I was very close.
Did you feel hurt that he didn't choose you?
Yeah, does that make you upset that he didn't want?
Yeah, because I literally think about like the times I was with him by myself in a room fixing my laptop. Or
perfect
something.
Opportunity. And he just still didn't do anything.
And you took your clothes off and everything, and yeah, he still no, didn't.
Yeah. I didn't do anything.
No interest in searching.
Do you now think you maybe should have, you know, showed a bit more skin.
If you could go back now, would you put, wear makeup or what?
Yeah, I would do something, put some wax or like a nice dress.
Wax the legs, yeah.
And but in Spain, we just have one case, which is called, it was a guy that would do like has a Muppet.
Ventriloquism.
Yeah. And he was like a big TV producer, but he was more like, he was more famous for like not paying people and then just doing like sexual abuse, especially to women.
What's the not paying people? That's significant still.
He earned still like a lot of money to big like TV presenters and stuff because he wouldn't pay people.
Okay.
But the pedo stuff is worse than the not paying stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but like he would take advantage of owning money to people to be like, come to mine and I will pay you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was
That's rough. So you might end up getting like not paid and also fiddled with. That's a double whammy.
So you go around his house to get the money.
Well,
he's in the shower.
He got beaten up. One of the, a few years, like 4 years ago, he was in the news because someone went into his house and just tried to kill him. But
I mean, that's what happens, isn't it?
And what's where he's in jail now?
No, he's a free and he's not doing TV anymore.
He's not the IT guy.
After everything happened, he was still on TV, and I actually was on TV with like, and he was one of the members of the.
So you met him as well?
Yeah. And everyone was like, when I went to the TV studio, everyone was like, be careful. And I was like, but
he didn't want you either.
That's terrible, isn't it? That people just go.
Just keep striking out around paedophiles, man.
You're catching pies all over the place, mate.
But nothing is happening so far.
That's a shame, man. Keep at it, man.
Yeah, keep trying.
Just get a little hem on that skirt or something.
Oh, boy.
That's bad, though, isn't it? People are going to be careful, and the bloke's still on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a weird law, I suppose. If he's under investigation, he's innocent till proven guilty, I guess, eh?
Yeah, so you are correct there. But the host of The Chase...
still on TV,
aren't you? The Chase on ITV.
Yeah.
They brought it over to Australia, and the host, Andrew... Oh, what's his name? But he basically last year got sacked from The Chase, and he's now in prison because he was a drug addict, domestic abuser behind closed doors
to his
proper,
partner.
Like, bashing, yeah, like proper like I think coked up, just bashed her, and now he's in prison. So like, that's such a imagine like if Bradley Walsh just suddenly went to prison,
never.
It'd be such big news. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
know.
So who's presenting it now? Is that the role you're going up for?
Yeah, I know. There's a new guy who apparently is lovely. He's not. He's not got any skeletons in his closet.
God,
hopefully.
So interesting, isn't it? Grim.
Should we?
Do you know what I'm? I don't know about. Oh, you were about to ask something, weren't you, Carl?
I was going to ask a question. So basically, what we've been thinking of. Doing some questions. We haven't done it for a while, so we put it out on Patreon to see if anyone had any questions for us to discuss, and we were very surprised to get bloody loads of them. So we thought we should do a few, shouldn't we?
We can't do all of them. We just work through them each episode.
I know.
And there our was patrons this, I can this keep
quite,
them
there was one
well.
Actually. There's one that was quite good because I think actually it's something that people don't really know much about. But Derek Hill asked, do you ever get a rider as part of your contract? Or if you do have one, what would be on it, basically? I think this is a good question. So I've just come off this week-long tour of regional Victoria. And there was a woman at the final theatre who just was a volunteer who was helping out. And she didn't know what a rider was. Like they prepared a rider backstage for all of
How
us.
How do you spell rider? It's like, R-Y.
It's R-I, isn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, but she had no idea what a rider was. She thought like that.
A rider is like, say, how did you explain a rider?
I would say it's just like refreshments backstage.
What you want, yeah, but it could be anything, couldn't it? It could be like refreshments, or I don't know.
Like people like Elton John, apparently it was Elton John. Anyway, somebody would put Just Blue Smarties, and the reason they did that was so that they could check that the people have read the rider.
Yeah, yeah, right at the end.
Right. And also because they really like Blue Smarties.
Yeah, they may well really like
put them in their butty. Sorry.
Why?
You know, when you pull them out, like the colour, they're white anyway.
But people
don't understand. Like it is a real thing. You know, like most gigs provide some form of rider, don't they?
Yeah,
you know, we don't have a
contract for gigs per se. Do you? Like if you do a gig, it's quite casual, isn't it?
Yeah, and it varies.
There's often bad food at gigs, though. There's often like last night there was bananas and stuff there, but there's often like sweets and chocolate and sugary stuff or crisp. And I'm thinking like, if you're about to perform, that's not going to help you. You're going to feel a bit meh. What, you know what I mean?
What would you prefer? What would be your
grapes,
ideal ride?
Strawberries,
cocaine.
Yeah. just healthier
stuff. Apparently
used
to be par for the course in the 90s, isn't it? That's what everyone talks about. The 90s green rooms were just basically coke fests.
Yeah.
They're not at all now, are they? Not that anyone offers me any or anything like that.
I don't think it's that good for performing stand-up cocaine. Do you know what I mean? I think stand-up works on a sort of tightrope of... You know, being able to read the room, whereas coke, I think, does somewhat take away that ability.
You would just talk, wouldn't you? Non-stop. You wouldn't listen at all, would you? You'd just be...
Yeah.
And I can't guarantee...
I've seen really good comics do coke, though, so it might just work for some, eh?
Maybe.
I mean,
but do it up pre-gig?
I think so, yeah. I saw a really big comic, come out the toilet and, like, wiping his nose. I'm sure he was on it. It was really good.
I mean, I want to know who it is now.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. I mean, one of the biggest in the country.
Are we talking about like their
Any
profile
guesses?
Or their body
profile?
No. Who would it be?
I mean,
no,
there
let's not.
A lot of guesses, couldn't there?
But he's not really a clean. Anyway,
you're
I won't.
You're not going to tell us anyway, are you?
Sorry. I'll tell our patrons.
Right, but that must be the minority, like, you know.
And also, I wasn't 100%. I didn't see him do it. He just came out a bit perkier, wiping his nose. And I've seen people do coke, obviously. And I thought it was...
Yeah.
I've never done it.
But
you never done it?
In the past, but not before, not for stage.
Oh, for stage?
No.
Not on stage,
I like to be with it, you know, sort of. Yeah, I like my brain just to be as it is without any...
I had a joint once about 3 hours before a gig and I was like so panicking before I was going on.
I get paranoid.
Brain dead.
Yeah, I think totally. That would really make me worried. So
us once, can I name him? I won't name him just in case he doesn't want it. But quite a well-known comedian. I'd been on first. He was on after the break and we went out and he just had this fat spliff. And I hadn't smoked weed in years. And we just smoked it at the interval. And it was so strong. Like, it absolutely wiped
was
me
it
out.
Arthur
I just
Smith?
Watched his set. No, it wasn't Arthur Smith.
Because I saw him
but
do
I
that.
I just watched pre-gig.
In the interval. He was hosting the Barbican. It's
insane.
A massive, like, 1,000-seater or something. Just lit this big
he's
slip.
Just blazing
said,
it up.
He's like, do you want a bit of that? I was like, I'm all right, man.
But this comic, like, basically we shared it, and I say shared it, he had most of it as well, and I genuinely spent his set just monged out on the back on a chair at the back of the room,
and
he just went on stage like
show.
It like yeah totally normally didn't look
wow.
like it. I mean, that's a bad sign if you smoke so much weed that it doesn't have any effect on you.
It would fuck me right up.
Some
if
people
I
function well on it though,
I don't. I'd had a joint after my set and then watched the other comics and just cracking up at them. I was at the back, just thinking, how do they do that? I was fucking laughing my face off.
That's quite nice. Yeah.
I mean, Pete Ottaway was on, actually. He is funny, isn't he? Yeah. I really like him. Yeah, he was emceeing. I was fucking crying with laughter, man.
That's quite sweet.
I forgot that I just got on and leathered it beforehand, you know what I mean?
Of course you did. Of course you
took
did.
Took the roof off.
Yeah. Sometimes with riders, though, do you know when they kind of go, oh, you can just go to the bar and, you know, and you put it on the tab or whatever, but you then have to go and queue for ages at the bar, and I think, oh, just get me a glass of water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I want.
Just give them a pat on the bum so they can fetch me a water.
Yeah.
And also, no matter how long I've done comedy for, if I have to go to the bar and order a drink and put it on, like, the gigs tab, I'm still convinced they're going to ask me for money, and then I'm going to be too embarrassed to say there's a tab.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to end up paying for it. I've never, ever got comfortable with that idea. Just put it in.
I just get tap waters, so I just swerve all of that, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm quite happy with tap water. Quite like a cup of tea sometimes when I get somewhere, or a coffee.
I used to have a black coffee before I went on every gig.
Did you? What, it was like a superstition as well?
It was just for the energy, I guess. Right. And but yeah, I'm sure I wondered why I'd be a bit more angsty. Once I stopped the black coffee, I thought, oh, it's not the gig making me anxious, it's the fucking coffee.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And then once I had that, I was like, oh, I'm all right. Not even scared. I thought it was the gig.
Is it Russell Kane, obviously, famously has his, like, sort of coffee routine pre-gig, doesn't he?
He times it
to get the sort of caffeine release for when he's on stage. Which is,
but that's,
I mean, he's literally worked out how it is. Yeah, so it's a,
because you've got to need more and more as the years go on, I would imagine.
Yeah. Also, what if you're doing another gig? What if you're doing two shows or something? And
what if there's no coffee to hand as well? And you've got,
I think he's always prepared for that. I think that would be on his rider. And
doesn't he do the bulletproof coffees, like with the butter in it and all this other stuff?
I think he might, yeah.
Yeah,
butter.
You put butter.
Have you never had that bulletproof?
That Coke, that MTC oil, which is a bit like coconut oil, stuff like that.
Oh, it sounds disgusting. Coconut oil, butter.
It's actually all right. I used to put coconut oil in my coffee.
Did you?
Yeah, it's nice because all your lips are all slippery afterwards.
I've never heard of that.
Does that sound nice?
Yes. That sounds disgusting.
Oh, all shiny
old slippery lips.
That's my nickname on the street. Oh, slippery lips, is it?
Coming over for a fight.
I think one of the best riders that used to be in existence. I don't know if you ever did. You ever do Aberystwyth
Uni? I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to.
I've never done. Yeah. I've never done that gig. Yeah.
It was just mad.
Back in the day,
sweets.
So much sweets, so much booze as well.
There was like Haribos and things like that.
Yeah, there was just like a mountain of sweets and crisps and like booze. And when you're a new comedian, it was so exciting, like, to just get to a gig and they're just, oh, you were staying in a shitty little B&B overlooking the sea.
It was a really nice gig as well, wasn't it? It was a great fun gig.
So far though,
yeah. So far, like, it's literally the end of the world. Next stop is fucking New York.
But when you're new and you're being, but you know, you'll go anywhere, won't you? When you're new, you're like, brilliant, I got a booking, And it's one of those places that you have to kind of like, you have to let the train driver know that you're getting off. You know, these request stops.
Yeah.
Pull a bell on a train. Put your hand out to a train. I went to London in one night years ago.
What, drove all the way there?
Yeah, someone else drove. He had quite a nice Jag, though. I forget his name. Do you remember him? He's quite a small
guy. Pete.
No, he always wore a suit. Really softly spoken. Had quite funny jokes.
Oh,
glasses.
I know.
Really
lovely.
Yeah, Matthew Osborne.
Yeah.
And Matt Osborne. He was a great comedian.
Yeah, he was funny. Really nice bloke. He always used to have tailored suits on.
Yeah, and a flash car.
And he had a really nice Jag. And he drove there and back without stopping on the way back. It was so far.
He re-emerged a few years ago.
He just never enjoyed doing stand-up.
No, and he was so good.
I thought he was really good,
He was really good.
He was good as me, but he was good.
Did he do well in like some of the competitions in like 2004? Yeah. I remember he was like the generation just before me. Yeah, when I started, he was like on loads of gigs. Really funny.
And he always went on stage in that suit, and he was just I can't remember any of his jokes, but
really lovely guy.
Yeah.
Miss him, man. Where you at, Matthew? Come back, man.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Have we covered that rider question?
I think so. Well, basically, yeah. But to answer the question, yes, most gigs do provide some form of rider, but it's a real spectrum of like
quality
in it.
You even answered your question,
big
Derek?
Ones.
Derek Hill.
Hill, by the way, really has been helping me with maths over the last sort of year or so. He's a maths teacher.
He's an
excellent teacher.
Why have you been learning maths?
Just to help my daughter with her GCSEs. So any question I get, I just DM Derek.
And he just gives you the
I'm just like bugging him.
He's not really helping you. He's just giving you all
He doesn't, though. He makes me... I work it out.
Right.
Yeah, so like he's good.
Have you got any examples of...
Well, like algebra, a lot of algebra, actually. What was it recently? I can't remember. Was it fractions or ratios or all that kind of thing? But it was GCSE stuff, yeah. But it looks like a foreign language. Then I kind of ask him, he points me in the right direction. Oh. And I kind of... And then it suddenly clicks.
Nice.
He's a really good teacher.
Mm. Yeah.
I used to like maths at school.
I
was good. I liked maths as well. It's one of them ones.
I like
where
I love it. Yeah.
I understood it because it was very. It's what it is, isn't it?
I like things.
Yeah.
My maths teacher in school was like not good though.
Really?
She's always angry at me.
That makes a difference.
And his breath smelt as well.
Really?
I drew a picture of him on the blackboard once with like poo coming out of his mouth.
Oh. I did a gig tonight in Melbourne with a comedian called Ben Knight. He's a really lovely, funny Melbourne-based comedian. He's also a teacher. That's his day job. And he told me such a funny story about a naughty kid at his school who did something that made him laugh to the point where he couldn't even tell the kid off, where basically he was out of the room and all the kids are in the room. On the whiteboard, the kid drew a massive cock and balls in black permanent marker, right? So it's not coming off. But then got the whiteboard markers, like all different color ones, and drew like a palm tree over it. So like bushes at the bottom, then the thing, and then the leaves.
So when
at the
they
top.
Wipe it
so
off.
He walked in. Yeah. So he walked in and saw just this lovely picture of a palm tree and went, "Oh, that's a nice picture. Who drew that?" And no one said anything. And he wiped it off, and it's just a fucking massive cock and ball. And he said the moment he wiped it, he just got a real fit of giggles, and he was laughing so much he couldn't sort of discipline
such
the kids.
Such a funny reveal, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope all the kids were laughing as well.
I bet.
I think they were. I think it was a funny moment.
That's great.
Let's
do one
questions?
Other question before we wrap it up.
There was one that really made me laugh. It was quite bleak, wasn't it? I just don't know why, it just really made me laugh.
Or pick
another one. Pick whatever one.
I'll tell you
want.
One that I spotted that caught my attention was one from Jess Henderson that said, have you ever done a Ouija board or had a spooky experience? Because I've done a Ouija board a few times and I've had a couple of spooky experiences.
You did a show in Edinburgh every night.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I did a couple of nights of it in Edinburgh where we did a seance. But so we had a couple of spooky experiences on that, didn't we?
It was funny, Math Brown, because I went with Math, didn't I? And he got so freaked out, he left. He looked so scared. But I kind of understood. I was scared as well. Like, it's just a bit... Edinburgh is scary anyway. And but he left. He was, like, genuinely just pale white.
That's really funny.
So funny.
Because it did get creepy. The second night was when we got members of the audience to join us on the Ouija board, and then like literally the fucking it was with Lou Conran.
Her
mum is
she's obviously
ghost, yeah, not really. Yeah. Her mum's a clairvoyant,
but they're very much very into the other side,
yeah,
those two. Yeah,
yes. So Lou, and she basically, we had this moment where Lou was sort of guiding it, and it was me and a few of the audience members on the board, and it just went to like two very distinct letters. And she said, "Is anyone in the room?" And bear in mind, there was an audience as well. She said, "Does anyone have anyone that matches those letters?" And one of the guys on the board went, "My mum." And it was his mum's initials. And she'd died like 3 months earlier. And it all was, it suddenly just got all fucking freaky and creeped out. And, and then my dead uncle's initials came up at one point. I wasn't on the board at that point. And it kept going to the letters. And then the thing that shaped like a sort of heart upside down kept turning and pointing at me. And it was like, it was shit like that. And no one knew my uncle's initials in that room. You know, it's like there was loads of creepy shit happening. It freaked me out.
I went to Yvette Fielding's house. You know Yvette Fielding?
Blue Peter.
Yeah. But she does Most Haunted.
So, oh, yeah.
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 With Lou. And we went to their wooden shed to talk to the dead. And
to the dead there then, yeah.
Because wood apparently is a good conductor to hear them. So what happens is they bang, the dead bang. So we were busy.
They bang.
As far as I was aware, we were chatting to my dad. and they bang, God. As in they knock you. So you get like, so you'll ask a question like, I don't know, you know, to, is it nice up there or whatever? And then you get I'm trying to think how you get the answers. So it'll knock. Oh, and then you say knock for yes, not once for yes, and knock twice.
Or
for no.
Just say yes if you're going to come from the underworld into this realm. Don't just move a curtain.
Come all that way.
Come all that way.
Yeah.
Just turn a light off.
Just tired, aren't
fucking have a sit down, mate. Grab a chair. I think if ghosts were real, they'd be on the news. Do you know what I mean? We'd know about them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Yeah.
Dad may have come back.
No, I'm not. You know, you just sort of, we did it, and I was with Lou, and obviously Yvette and her husband, and they're very much, you know, tuned into that world, and I'm sort of, I don't know. I'm sitting on a fence, really, going.
We will work our way through the questions. We've got loads, haven't we? But we've got to wrap it up now.
I just remembered, we'll wrap it up in one sec, but I've still got my Ouija board that I did that show with, if you wanted to do a Patreon Ouija board special.
Definitely.
Should do, should we?
Scary. Yeah. Do it in here with candle lit.
Yeah, I reckon we should. It'd be fun.
Fucking
and
hell.
We'd also shit
night.
Our pants. It'd be so scary.
I mean,
scary.
I'd be up for that. I've got a dead, what are they called? Parent. Sorry.
What are they called? I want to plug my podcast before we wrap up.
Please,
yeah, we will.
Plug
we'll,
your.
We'll do, do you we'll do a podcast? We'll do a random
I did your podcast the other day. It was great fun.
Carl's going to do it when he's back in the UK.
Yeah,
he doesn't know that yet.
It's about booze, right?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be about booze. It's about drink.
Mine was about espressos. Yes.
Yeah. So, but
my drink problem that I used to have.
Julian was brilliant on it. He did. He
got pretty heavy.
Good. Yeah. We were therapists by the end of it. God, I'm just talking now. I'm just making noises, aren't I?
It's called Spit or Swallow Podcast. Spit or Swallow.
Yeah. Spit or Swallow Podcast, put that in. And it's with Lou Conran, who speaks to the dead, me and her.
Yes.
Speaks to the dead and the drunk.
And the drunks, yeah.
So that's, everyone should check it out. Is there anything else we should quickly plug before we...
Doing any tour shows?
I'm touring, doing little tour shows around the UK. Check out my website, sallyannhayward.co.uk. Follow me on the socials, at Sallyann Comedy.
Yes.
I can't think, I should have written a list, shouldn't I? I can't think of anything else.
You should have.
That's it.
Anything we need to plug, Julian? Just our patron?
Just thanks to all our new patrons and our... Yeah, that's patreon.com/wetvi. Please.
/spit or swallow podcast.
Yeah.
We had a very funny chat on our Patreon catch up yesterday about you dying of diarrhea. That was a real
it's been
highlight.
So rough for the last week. I'm all right now, though.
Did everything just come out?
Oh, my Lord.
It was quite satisfying, though, isn't it?
It isn't. Yeah, I had a temperature, though, a nauseous feeling. So yeah. It wasn't.
If you're just shitting, you can live with it. It's when the rest of you feels rough.
Yeah, it's actually quite. Yeah, it is quite relieving, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it.
But anyway, it's sign up to Patreon to hear us talk at length about Julian's diarrhea.
I'd love it if you get loads more patrons now. Just
It's suddenly like 2,000
people.
Yeah,
poo fetishes.
Anyway, let's wrap it up. We'll be back next week. Thanks, Stallion, for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Patrons, keep the questions coming and we will work through them.
Because we've got loads. I mean, we literally got through two. There was loads on Patreon. So we'll bank them and start working through them. And any
they
new
can
ones,
keep
them
on that same
week.
Thread, can't they? They can just keep the questions on there. Yeah,
we could do. For the next few weeks, then we'll start a new one.
Yeah.
But other than that, give it a share. Give it a, tell your friends. Go on YouTube if you're listening. Watch it on there. Yeah. If you're watching it on YouTube, go and subscribe if you want to listen to the audio.
Give it a comment as well. Comments are helpful for the algorithms.
Oh is it? Nice. Oh, God. Yeah. You can read them. I feel uncomfortable reading comments.
No, I'll read them, yeah.
All right, cool.
I'll read them and like them.
And delete any ones that are bad.
And delete the negs.
Then go and beat
All right,
them up.
Let's wrap it up.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Everybody.
We love you all.
We love you all. Bye.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you know. Mom, it's a diet of AIDS in an alleyway.